Hello and thank you for joining me today. I'm Mindy McNeil, and this month's wine and food pairing, Carolyn is back. Yay,
hello.
Carolyn. Not that we didn't like Brandon.
It's been a few months, yeah.
But we're happy to have you back, and we are joined in studio, of course, by Carolyn and by Devin Collier. He is with Bird Restaurant.
Yes.
And he has brought just some yummy herb-roasted chicken with spaghetti squash and a carrot cake bread pudding. Devin, if you could tell me or tell Carolyn and I and our audience just a little bit about this creation.
It's a green chicken marinade. So mostly what it has in there is green onions, cilantro, parsley, and then we do some garlic, lemon juice, coriander, and then we just do a little bit of blended oil that's, you know, whatever really house oils you have. It can be olive oil, canola oil, avocado oil works too. And then we just salt and pepper, and you usually want to let the chicken sit there for, you know, maybe at least a couple hours or something. But, you know, the more and more you let it there, the better and better it gets. So,
all right. And then do you dry it after you're finished marinating it, or you just don't need to?
Just throw it right in there.
Okay, so heat your pan and with oil and then sauté it or pretty high heat, crisp it up.
You want to get the pan pretty hot before you put the chicken in so it gets that skin nice and crispy. And then you just, what we do too is we get that first side, we flip it, and then we throw it in the oven. So you want to have your oven about 400 degrees.
Okay.
Throw it in there and you kind of let it sit, you know, for a good 15 minutes. Let it cook through. You want it to cook to 165 degrees. And then you can pull it out. And then you let the chicken rest.
So you've got the chicken, which is amazing. So what made you decide on the spaghetti squash as the side?
Just kind of something different that had a more, you know, still had that heartiness kind of comfort food feeling, but it was more on the lighter side. You know, the main thing at Bird that we like to do is not having, you know, we like the comfort food feel, but we don't want to have you leaving not comfortable. You know, we want you to feel light, refreshed, that you just had a great meal, but you're ready to go instead of feeling that down and lazy with like
the heaviness.
The heaviness of the pastas. And, you know, it's just something creative that we wanted to try. And I think it works really well to add to the butter sauce and everything.
Definitely. I love the texture. I mean, you think you're eating like a little angel hair pasta and it's got kind of that al dente feeling to it. But then you have all this great butter sauce that you're able to slop up with it and stuff in your mouth. So I love it. Gluten-free.
Mm. Yes.
And it's really good because I've been buying, I'm trying to not eat meat and I'm trying to go more vegan, but, you know, things come in that just tempt me and I have to go for it.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I'm just... But I love this because I have actually a spaghetti squash in my refrigerator. I have a whole and thing. So how is this? Okay, so I'm new at preparing spaghetti squash. Mm-hmm. So is there like a trick to it for those of us who don't know how to prepare it?
It's a lot simpler than what people think. So the main thing with spaghetti squash is just you cut it in half. You take all those seeds out, kind of scrape them out with a spoon, you know, a pretty hefty spoon. And then once you have that core out, you just salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, and you put it, you want to put it upside down so the skin is on the outside. So what it does is when you bake it, it kind of steams it in the oven, and then it gives it still that roasted flavor. And really, it's kind of a set it, forget it. You throw it in there, and you probably cook it for, it would be about 30 minutes, you know, and you just want it just, like you said, an al dente, because when you're going to heat it back up when you use it. And then it usually just comes out. You just can take your hand with a glove or even with another spoon, you take it out, and it really comes out like spaghetti. It has that fibers in there that it really just comes out like spaghetti. You don't really have to scrape it in a certain way or anything.
I just really like it. I know sometimes that my kids don't like the texture so much, but when you have enough sauce with it like this, and I think you've probably heated it or it's baked in there a little bit more. And I wasn't sure what kind of influence, like how herby this was going to be or how tomato-y it was going to be. So I actually brought two wines. I didn't want to bring something too fruity because anytime I see herb crusted, I think of like sage or parsley, oregano. And you mentioned cilantro, which I love, mm-hmm. but for people that don't like cilantro, this is not overpowering by any means. Mm-hmm. It gives you just a little bit of freshness there.
Yeah.
So whenever I see that, I think red. But when I was with my staff last night and we see butter, then we're thinking white.
Yeah.
So I brought two wines today.
And that's interesting because I did see that when you pulled out, you had the two. And I was like, okay, is this for the chicken? Is this for the carrot cake bread pudding? But me, you know, and Carolyn knows because I was wine about this, pun intended, but about my favorite, you know, wine is Moscato. And because I'm more like a white wine, but I actually like this red wine. Mm-hmm. This is, whoa, okay.
I also knew, you know, we just had Valentine's Day. So normally I hope that you had a chance to try the white, because usually we taste it with the white first. And the white that I brought today was the Monte del Fra. It's out of Custoza, Italy. So that's up in the Veneto region, and it's actually six different varieties. When we think of Italy, we often just think of Pinot Grigio, although there's just hundreds of grapes there, even white grapes. So it's kind of fun to have something that's a little bit different. And this is the 2016. It's just been released. It's bright and crisp, and it's got that acid that cuts through the fat on the skin and the fat in the butter sauce. But it doesn't overpower that little tanginess that you get from the tomato. Mm. So it's hard for me to go past the white because I think it tastes so good, but yeah, I do like the red as well.
You're being tempted in both ways.
Yes.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, that white goes really great with it. It's just nice and crisp. That, like you said, that acid is just enough where it can add something really special with the pairing.
Yeah. So the grapes in this, like I said, there are six different grapes. Oh, another interesting part of this wine, I think, is that you get a sort of creaminess there. I don't know if you can detect that, which is another reason why I wanted to pair it with this, because you have the butter there. But the reason why you get a little bit of that creaminess is because one of the grapes, which is called Garganega, was aged in barrels, and it's called on the lees. So all the must and the lees and the yeast and things in there, it was aged on that for 4 months, which kind of adds this creamy texture. And then the rest of the grapes were vinified in stainless steel, and they're grown in clay and limestone soils. So you get that kind of chalky and brightness, too, to the wine. I think it just has this great balance. And this, you know, I'm always trying to look for specific wines, but at the same time, I want to find wines that are versatile. And so this wine, even though it goes with this tomato and kind of buttery chicken and more savory dish, could also go with like a sushi or an Asian or even a duck glaze, something like that. So,
wow. Okay. And so your thought process, that was on the white and on the red.
Yeah, so we have the total opposite on the red. So we have this young, bright, sassy, fresh white wine, and then I brought this kind of old Chianti. It's not expensive wine, but it's 2013. So this wine is just on the cusp of where you wouldn't want to drink it anymore. It's still drinking great right now, but what happens when we age wine, red wine in particular, is that a lot of the fruit kind of dies off a little bit and turns into more savory notes. And then any of the wood tannins that were there soften, or any of the acidity also softens. So again, when I see that herb, I just think of earthy and rustic, and I want a little bit of warmth there. So we just happened to taste this wine and be offered this wine. So it's the Leonello Marchese.
All right.
It's from the larger Chianti region. So Chianti runs from about Florence almost down to Siena. It's actually quite a large area. It's about 100 miles.
Okay.
And within that area, there's about seven different, there are seven different districts. And so this one comes from that larger area, but because it's named Superiore, it has certain aging requirements. And those are that it must be aged at least 9 months, with three of those months in bottle. So it's not necessarily from a specific region. Like you might see Chianti Classico.
Okay.
That's a region within Chianti. Or Chianti Rufina, that's an area within Chianti. But when you see Superiore, that's just mandating the aging process of the wine.
Okay.
So this is 2013. It's had 6 years now in the bottle.
Okay.
and it changes quite a bit over those 6 years. So it mellows out. It gets the more savory notes. It's kind of a little more dried fruit. And I think that when you have a white meat, mm-hmm. and veggies and herbs, and I love aged wines, okay. with that kind of comfort. I love it with poultry and pork and salmon and
seafood? And even,
and yeah.
Anytime
I mean, you could drink
shellfish,
this with a burger. And this, like I said, what's fun about this, and you should come on down because we're tasting these wines tonight, is to be able to taste something that's aged and not expensive. And mm-hmm. it's great because we didn't age it. This is coming from the winery,
okay.
Aged, and so it's been properly cellared. Mm-hmm. It's not been sitting in somebody's, you know, furnace room,
okay.
for 6 years.
4 years, okay. Years on end. Now, the other thing is that, Devin, you brought this carrot cake bread pudding.
Yes.
Which looks amazing. And you, Carolyn had mentioned earlier, you can smell the cinnamon, everything else. So seeing that there was carrot cake bread pudding as well, did that inspire any of these wines, Carolyn?
Well, I did. I definitely knew that we wouldn't go with the red wine on this one. I did think because this white wine has a little bit of Riesling in there, and so you get some of those stony fruits, that peach in the nose or apricot. Yeah. It has a better probability of pairing with the carrot cake, but generally you kind of want to mix the sweet and sweet, so you want to have a similar level of sweetness. And there would be some amazing dessert wines with this, but I didn't want to bring a third wine today because
we would have been happy.
Yeah, might just be a little bit too much for us.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the white wine would work with the carrot cake. But I think there's probably some better wines with
well,
it.
Well, I feel like it does go really well with, you said, those peach notes and those mm-hmm. nice fruits, you know, stone fruits. And it kind of just adds a nice little subtleness, but it changes it in a great way.
And there's also like a tiny hint of almond in the wine, a little nutty flavor. And again, that you have this brightness, but you have this creaminess also. So I think that's a wine that works throughout the meal. And people, they poo-poo white wine, and please don't poo-poo it because white wine is great. I mean, it's super versatile. It goes with so many different things. It's complex. People think it's sweet. This is not sweet. You smell something fruity. But if you were to blindfold your eyes and hold your nose, you wouldn't think it's sweet.
And, you know, this, and I think, okay, too, as far as you were talking about almonds and the cinnamon and everything else, what I notice in here, there are a lot of carrots. It's not overwhelming. It's not overwhelming. But when I was looking at your menu, you know, I was like, okay, what's different? And I had never heard of carrot cake bread pudding. So is this something that you thought of or someone else thought of?
We actually had our chef think of this. It was a recipe that he had before that he brought in some other restaurants too. But I never heard of it before either.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a really cool concept. So a lot of it's just the carrot juices, like we juice them fresh in there, and then we take a lot of the shreddings too, and then we put it in there for some texture.
Okay.
Just so that you kind of get the same texture of like a carrot cake.
Oh, well, yeah.
So does this count as your veggie serving?
Yes. I always say that. If it has veggies or anything in there, then it's
healthy.
That's
it. Yeah, that's it. And like I said, there are a lot of carrots in there, but it's not overwhelming. It's not like, but it has good, like you said, it's good texture. And it's beautiful. There's, you know, going to be pictures on the website, but it's beautiful. And so I'm just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, we've also garnished it with our candied pecans.
Okay.
So that's also kind of a fun little crunch to it as well. We usually do a dulce de leche with it. So it's evaporated milk that you caramelize in the can.
Oh.
But so you just boil it in the can and you put like a little vent in it. It takes a couple hours to do. But when you're going to do this at home, honey works really well. Just any caramel sauce works really well too. So anything really you want to add to it. But it's sweet enough where you can eat by itself.
Yeah.
Have with ice cream possibly as well.
Mm-hmm. So where are you all located?
So we are on 1529 South Pearl Street. So we're just a half block away from Sushi Den and Uno Mas, Taqueria. We are also partners with Uno Mas and Palizzo and Chaos Pizza.
Wow.
Also Mas Chaos out up north and everything. So we're all under the umbrella of the wonderful Patrick White.
Yep.
He's amazing guy and has been a great mentor to all of us general managers and owners through the years. And
I've known Patrick for about way longer than I want to admit. went before he pre-restaurant days, and we would have so much fun, and he's got this contagious laugh. That's awesome. And I really appreciate all of these guys because they participate in the chili cook-off. And actually, Uno Mas won People's Choice this past year, which was wonderful to see because they have 4 restaurants that entered over the last few years.
And so, and we love doing it.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's all for a good cause as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a great cause, and it's just a lot of fun. And so you've done a great job with that competition.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's fun to have all of this work together, and we love having Kubo every year. And so it's a fun party.
And I was there last year, and I'm telling you, because at first you're like, okay, it's a small little cup, but you get so filled.
Yeah.
You're like, you can't make it around to all the vendors because even though it's an ounce or maybe 2 ounce cup, I mean, you're full by the time you go through. So, but it's great, especially because it's helping benefit charity, and that's the best thing. So
but all of these restaurants, I think there's a common thread there with obviously your owner, but also, you know, the local aspect and just unique food and quality, and a certain family and fun atmosphere. So
yeah, it's definitely been something important for all of our restaurants to make that neighborhood spot that people can come to and, you know, see the same people and, you know that, you know, there's going to be those servers that take care of them, and I'm going to be there, and Patrick's going to be there, and I can give them the smile every day and make sure that their food's at the highest quality with their wine, their beverages, and, you know, just really making something special that, you know, you don't get a lot these days, and trying to bring that back.
Yeah, the familiarity, because I think that's key as well, keeps people coming back.
I think there's a great synergy here between Kuvo and all of us because, you know, you have the same hosts that have been here for years and years. And
wonderful
On-air hosts, web hosts.
Consistency in music, this local vibe and support of the local community. And I hope that people see that we've been doing that at Joy Wine and Spirits and with our employees and with the wonderful restaurants that are here. So I just am so grateful to all of the listeners that have been supporting all of these endeavors from all these individual businesses, and we really appreciate your business, and, you know, keep listening and keep having fun
and keep supporting the businesses. I love, you know, Carolyn, she has her shop on 6th and Marion. You all are on South Pearl, so I just want to say thank you all very much for listening, but thank you both for being here today and helping out with this wine pairing.